of Good Friday and Easter. We start the
next
most
is a live
holy
broadcast of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church
today.
Worship service with Pastors Poppy and Randy.
By the end of the week, will be shouts of anger, crucify him, crucify him. We pray that God would bless us this holy week as we hear his word and receive his gifts. Before I do any more with regard to our worship service for today, right before we started Bible study this morning, it was reported and started coming over the news wire that there was a very, very serious terrorist attack in Egypt this morning. And several Christian churches during Palm Sunday worship were attacked. And some Islamic group has already claimed credit for that. But we stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in Christ who have been attacked while they are in church worshiping their Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it would be very appropriate for us to take a moment and lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, you are the Lord of all things. You have knit us together as brothers and sisters with all who call on you as Savior and Lord throughout the world. We now pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ in Egypt. Be with all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. Be with those who are searching and caring for those who have been injured. Grant healing to those who have been struck by this senseless act of terrorism. And Heavenly Father, unite us as one in Jesus Christ. Unite us as brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for, to encourage, and to care for all those who bear your name. Heavenly Father, you also ask us to pray for our enemies. We ask you to be with all those who hate your name. Bring them to repentance that they too would find peace, the only peace that can save a heart full of hate, the peace that comes from the Prince of Peace, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Curb these vicious attacks and turn our enemies into brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, with Christ, nothing is impossible. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name of the one who comes to us humbly, riding on a donkey, coming to save us from our sin. Amen. Amen. Our service today will be just a little bit different. You may think that things are even a little bit out of order. We will begin with the Palm Sunday Gospel reading, Matthew 21, 1-9. Following that Palm Sunday reading, we will have our opening hymn. For our opening hymn, it's hymn 444, No Tramp of Soldiers' Feet. We've sung it here before. It's not a real common hymn, but it's a great hymn for Palm Sunday. The choir will sing verse 1. And then starting with verse 2, the children will come in following the cross with their palm branches. You may join in singing starting at verse 2 as much or as little as you want. So we'll all be joining together for verses 2, 3, and 4. And then following that opening hymn, we will follow Divine Service Setting 1, page 151. And note, we won't be singing the hymn of praise. It's still Lent. Lenten responses. We've already had our gospel, so we'll go right from the epistle to our hymn of the day. And if we have any other kids who want to participate in the procession with palms for Palm Sunday, now's the time. Last call. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as your Son came into Jerusalem, humble, lowly, coming to save us, bless us through the forgiveness of sins with the mind of Christ, which brings us humility and obedience, not to make a name for ourselves, but in joyous service to the Son of God who loved us and gave his life for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 444, please join, starting with verse 2. Came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and the others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" The Gospel of our Lord.
Oh, number one, page 151, page 151, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of the introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
With you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the Sunday of the Passion is from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the gradual. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward you will receive me to glory. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hymn 571.
Thank you.
Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Please be seated. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the epistle reading from Philippians chapter 2, a beautiful portrayal of who Jesus is and what Jesus does, his humiliation, having all the power of God and yet not fully using it, and his exaltation, fully using his power on our behalf. But I'd like to focus specifically on the first verse of our text, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Dear friends in Christ, it was about, 25 years ago, maybe even a little bit longer, the first time I saw one. One of the kids in confirmation class had a little bracelet on, and on that bracelet were four initials, WWJD. I'm sure if you haven't seen them, maybe you even own some, maybe you've at least heard about it. There was a big fad, there was a big craze, mostly in the 90s, but it kind of lingers on a little bit even to this day, as all fads do. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? People were trying to encourage one another to live the Christian life, to imitate Jesus. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. Scripture is full of those kinds of encouragements, like our text. But what happened was really a media and marketing craze and frenzy. People thought of all different kinds of ways they could make money off of what would Jesus do. And before long, it turned into kind of a farce. Sportscasters would look at their favorite athletic team, and they would insert the name of their favorite player or their favorite coach in the spot where Jesus was. Packer fans might say, "What would Aaron Rodgers do?" And it would go on and on. People would joke back and forth, trying to encourage other people either to laugh or to behave. Better look out. What would Murundi do? There's really nothing new about this "what would Jesus do" craze. In fact, it was really taken from a 19th century book that was written by a Congregationalist pastor in Kansas. He wrote a book and he subtitled it, "What Would Jesus Do?" This particular pastor was a proponent of the social gospel. And the social gospel tends to downplay the Word of God. It tends to downplay the bloody sacrifice and glorious resurrection of Jesus, and to put before us good works, good deeds, pious living. Pious living is a good and God-pleasing thing, but not at the expense of our Lord and Savior Jesus. The social gospel is really no gospel at all. That's right. So, today we have before us clear words. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. It's okay to be honest. Aren't there many times when we wonder, really wonder in our life? I wonder what God is thinking for this to happen or to allow this into my life. And this morning, we could probably say, in light of our opening news and opening prayers, what's God thinking? Allowing this terrible tragedy in Egypt. We oftentimes wonder what is going on in God's mind. What is God thinking? My friends, we can see clearly what God is thinking when we open up the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, and we see what God tells us He is thinking. Or we can tell what He is thinking, the mind of God, the mind of Christ specifically, as we see the actions of God. God's Word is clear in this regard. But part of the problem is, many times, we don't want to go to all the work of actually opening up the Bible to see what God's Word says regarding His mind or His actions. Sometimes we want to keep the Bible closed because we know what it says and we don't like what it says. We would rather listen to our own minds, our own thoughts, our own actions than to be corrected by the Word of God. God's Word is clear. He desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And today, we see very clearly the mind of Jesus Christ. You don't have to wonder what was on Jesus' mind as He entered into Jerusalem on that very first Palm Sunday. You know what was on His mind? Are you ready for this? You were on Jesus' mind. You were on His mind as He rode humbly into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, clearly knowing what awaited Him there. It was no secret. It was no accident. It was no surprise. Jesus has been working His way to Jerusalem. It appears that He's taking His time, but everything is done in God's perfect plan and God's perfect timing. He has set His sights on Jerusalem, and He knows what awaits Him there. In fact, He predicts it again and again and again. The Son of Man will be betrayed into the hand of sinners. He will be beaten. He will be mocked. He will be ridiculed. He will be crucified. And on the third day, He will rise from the dead. He spoke plainly and openly about this. And the people either didn't get it, or they just simply ignored it. Oh, there was that one occasion when Peter got it. He understood very clearly what Jesus was talking about. And he said, "Never, Lord, I will never let this happen to you." Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You have in mind the things of man, not the things of God." The mind of Christ is to enter into Jerusalem to save you and me and all people from their sin. My friends, God's Word could not be more clear with regard to the mind of Christ on that first Palm Sunday. The mind of Christ is so different than our mind. When we think of a king coming to save, we might think of a king with a mighty army. Oh, Jesus has an army, all right, but His army of angels is invisible. We might think of a king riding into Jerusalem on a mighty war horse, a mighty steed, driving a giant fancy chariot. Not Jesus. Jesus comes in meekly, humbly, riding on a donkey, a beast of burden. We might think of a king coming to crush the opponents, the oppressors, the enemies. Jesus doesn't come to crush the Roman rulers or even the Jewish leaders of the church who are so wrong. Jesus comes in to defeat and to crush sin, death, and the power of the devil. Everything Jesus does, he does for you and me. This is the mind of Christ. My friends, you don't have to wonder today about the mind of Christ. You know what's on Jesus' mind today? You are. He wants you to hear this precious gospel message. He wants you to know that whatever sins you have committed, past, present, future, Christ Jesus has bled and died. His payment is sufficient. He wants you to know that everything Jesus accomplished on Good Friday and Easter has been given to you in the waters of holy baptism. He has clothed you in the forgiveness of sins. Today, in a little while, we'll sing just like the people did 2,000 years ago, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Save us now. And you know what Jesus does? Jesus comes riding in right here at 3825 Wildbriar Lane. He comes riding in, not on a donkey, but he comes riding on bread and wine into your mouth. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours. Save us now. The mind of Christ is on you. To save you now, to save you for all eternity. My friends, this is the mind of Christ. Have no doubt. But in our text today, God's Word teaches us that it's not enough only to know what was on Jesus' mind then. And what is on Jesus' mind today? God, through the Apostle Paul, says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. God says, I have given you the mind of Christ by grace through faith. It lives in you. It dwells in you. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, have this same mind among you. God is not saying that we should all be cookie cutter Christians, that we should all look alike, act alike, think alike, all of our activities be exactly the same. Absolutely not. We are unique individuals created in the image of God. Each one of us is special and has different ideas and desires and gifts, talents and abilities. What he is saying is that we should all have this mind of Christ. This mind of Christ, which is humility, which is patience, which is obedience. Jesus did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus knows he is God. And yet he willingly sets aside his Godhead for a time to serve us, to save us. We know that we are not God. And we act as if we are God all the time. We want what we want, and we want it now. Don't bother me with that Bible stuff. We think we have better words than the Lord Jesus does. And what Jesus is calling us to here in Philippians 2, what the Apostle Paul is exhorting us to is to have the mind of Christ. He's calling us to repent. He's calling us to repent. To repent for the things of the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh that take up so much of our mind and in so doing take up so much of our life. What would Jesus do? Well, we don't have to wonder what Jesus did. We can open up the Bible and see what Jesus did. When Jesus was having difficult times, When he was alone, when he was pressured by the crowds, when the weight of the world was crashing down upon him, what did Jesus do? He prayed. He prayed. God in the flesh prayed to his Father in heaven. My friends, having the mind of Christ among us means that we individually and collectively will pray. You know what I have discovered about most Christians, and especially Lutheran Christians? We talk about prayer very little, and we pray even less. Repent. Our Father has invited us to pray. Our Father has promised that He will hear us. The mind of Christ among us will erupt in prayer. Prayer of petition, prayer of thanksgiving. What would Jesus do? Well, let's turn to the Scriptures. When things were difficult, when pressures were pounding down around him, when the attacks of Satan zeroed in on him like a laser focus, what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture. He knew the Bible. He knew God's Word. He read it. He studied it. He memorized it. He quoted it. For most Lutherans, the day that we are confirmed is the last time we spend any time memorizing God's Word. Shame on us. When we hear and read and sing the Holy Scriptures, not only is God pleased, but God is at work filling us with His love, with His peace, with His grace. God's Word is a true means of grace by which He strengthens and encourages us for the journey. Having the mind of Christ among us means that we will read, learn, mark, and inwardly digest the Word of God. Men, if you are married, you are the head of the household. This is your responsibility to take the leadership with your family in the household, to see that God's Word permeates your household. That could happen in a lot of different ways. Prayer and devotions, reading of the Scriptures, Bible stories to your little kids, making sure that you're in God's house and in Sunday school and Bible study. This is what the mind of Christ looks like. And ladies, if your husband will not do this, then you are forced to take over this leadership role. Why? Because this is the mind of Christ among us. God desires us to be in His Word. What would Jesus do? When the authorities of Jesus' day were not fair with Jesus, Jesus always, even when he vehemently disagreed with them, he always showed the utmost respect for God's order in society. Remember, even when asked to pay unfair things, Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's." We live in a world where dignity and respect toward authorities is gone. It's absolutely gone. Read the newspaper, turn on your TV, listen on the radio. I'm almost afraid to say this. Look at people's Facebook posts or Twitter tweets. There is no respect, there is no dignity, there is no civility. This is wrong, this is sinful, this is shameful. God has called us to respect those who are in authority over us. This is what God calls us to do, and this is what Jesus did. He gives us this example so that children of God can live at peace. And when God's authorities, and they are set in place by God, when God's authorities are ruling over us, this is God at work, hidden in and through them. We don't set aside God's word when our authorities ask us or command us to do something contrary to God's word. But even when we vehemently disagree, we can do so with respect and honor. My friends, Jesus did not have to repent because Jesus is God in the flesh and he committed no sin. But for all of us who are saint and sinner at the same time, the mind of Christ looks and manifests itself most in our lives when we hear the Word of God, when we are convicted by the Word of God, and when we are driven to our knees in repentance. Repentance, truly sorry for our sin and our shortcoming, and truly believing that God can and will forgive us. How do we know? Jesus Christ has come into this world riding on a donkey, humbly bleeding and dying on Calvary's cross for you. How do we know? Jesus Christ didn't stay dead. It is finished. Jesus risen from the dead for you. How do we know? Jesus continues to come to us in His Word, in His holy sacraments, strengthening us for our journey called life. My friends, God's Word for today teaches us, exhorts us, and comforts us. You have the mind of Christ. It's God's gift, by grace through faith. It's real. And now God's Word teaches us, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. May God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds and our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess. This morning we confess the words of the baptismal creed, the Apostles' Creed, page 159. Please stand as you are able.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In addition to the prayers listed in your news and notes, we also remember the family of Good Shepherd member Wendy Schultz, whose father passed away this week, Lewis. We also pray for Deb and Leon Burrow, whose father and father-in-law, Raymond, is having major surgery. Let us pray for the church, that she may be defended against all enemies, be kept from error, and be made bold to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ without fear. Almighty God, as once the people welcomed your Son with palms and hosannas, grant to us your Spirit so that we may welcome with faith him who comes in the name of the Lord. Grant us grace so that we may make known Jesus Christ and Him crucified here and throughout the world, that Your kingdom may come and Your saving will and purpose may be done. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, as You have done, so continue to raise up faithful pastors, missionaries, and church workers, that Your word may be preached and taught in all of its fullness. We especially remember Dr. Allman and his family as they transition from the mission field, and for Pastor Preuss in his service into the Dominican Republic. We pray for our school and our preschool, and for Mr. Keith Verigay as he considers our divine call to be our headmaster and teacher. Grant Your Spirit to renew the faithful. Bring those in darkness to faith by the hearing of Your word, and help us to manifest Your love and mercy in all that we do. Lord, in Your mercy, Almighty God, You grant growth to Your church, and You bring to fruit all that You have begun with Your people. Help us to keep focused upon the word of the cross, for it is the power of our salvation and the word that endures forever. We pray for the church throughout the world, especially the persecuted church, and this day we especially remember all those who have been victims of terror in Egypt, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray, O Lord, that You would bring justice, that You would bring healing to those who are injured, that You would grant comfort to those who mourn. Lord, in Your mercy, Almighty God, Your Son bore all our weakness, sin, and death in His body, that we may be granted grace sufficient for all of our needs. Hold us in Your hand, bind up our wounds, and deliver us from all our needs, that we may know Your perfect peace. We especially this day pray for Raymond, Jerry, Celeste, Maureen, Ed, Marianne, Sonia, Laura Lee, Diane, Dwayne, Betty, Bonnie, Ted, Anna, Larry, Carl and Callie, Warren, Kay, Bridget and Sophie, Beth, Ralph, Mark, Betty, Robert, the son-in-law of Raleigh and Marge, Paris, Kristen, Desi, Kimberly, Raleigh, Bob, Cassie, and Carolyn. Lord, in Your mercy, Almighty God, Your Son walked the way of the cross to win life through His death and to bring an end to all tears. Grant the peace and joy of the resurrection of Christ to all those who mourn, especially the family of Louis Schultz, the family of Genevieve Holtzen, the family of Levon Rasmussen, Jay and Lindsay, the family of the grandfather of Melissa Macklin, and the family of Brett Clark, all of whom You have taken to Yourself. Grant to these families comfort and Your peace. Lord, in Your mercy, Almighty God, You have set forth Your only Son to redeem Your captive people from their sin and the power of death by means of His suffering, death, and resurrection. Keep us in the solemn remembrance of our Lord's passion, so that we may be moved to repentance and strengthened in faith, and by the communion of His flesh and blood, proclaim His death until He comes again. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the Lamb who comes to save us today and always. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that a good news of a God for you in every and any situation, whose mind is on you constantly, would be yours today. And always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
offertory, page 159. Give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, there life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Holy Lord, God of love and light, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power.
our Lord Jesus Christ on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Mercy on us, and
true body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand and we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you peace. May be seated for our closing hymn, 422. 422.
Humble and lowly and riding on bread and wine. So I think there's some in the back, there's some down here. Help yourself and make good use of them. We have a very, very busy week ahead of us. On the back of your bulletin today is a schedule for all the worship services we have. We will gather Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 6:30 and continue our Holy Week worship. You may not be familiar with a congregation that has church every day during Holy Week. We are a little bit overkill. But during this time, we'll have the opportunity to work our way through the last third of the Gospel of John. And that is a great thing, as we have the mind of Christ among us. If you are so moved to spend a little more time studying or reading God's Word, Palm Sunday in the Gospel of John begins in John 12. And to read John 12 to the end of the book, that'll be our focus over the next week and then the next several weeks. But that might be a good place to start as we hear and read and study and mark and learn God's Word together, the people of God. We're getting closer and closer to confirmation as well. In fact, we're 6 days away for our junior confirmands. On Wednesday evening during our service, we'll have part four of our questioning. We've got three more essays to go, two on Monday night and one on Tuesday night. And then Wednesday, we'll take about 10 minutes or so and finish up our questioning. It'll be the questioning on the Office of the Keys, Confession, and the Lord's Supper. So that'll be a good one as well. And then on Saturday, during the Easter Vigil, there's a part of the Easter Vigil where we all remember our baptism. And we always try to get somebody to actually be baptized during that part of the service. Well, we decided, rather than having the congregation remember our baptism alone, that we would take that time, and that would be our time for the confirmation of our junior confirmand. So, first year we've done it this way, and we pray that God would bless that as well. Monday, Thursday, we'll have two services, 12:15 and 6:30. Both are the same service. Good Friday, 12:15 and 7:30. 12:15 is the Treor service, where we focus on the words Jesus spoke from the cross. And the 7:30, note the later time, we want to have a service of darkness, so we need to start a little bit later. 7:30, service of darkness, the Tenebrae service. Easter Saturday, we'll have the vigil at 6 o'clock. And then next Sunday, nothing will change for you normal 10:30 worshipers. It's the 8 o'clock service that gets the change. We have a 6 o'clock sunrise service. That'll be broadcast live on KFOR radio as well. That'll be a standalone sunrise service. And then at 8:30 and 10:30, we'll have our Easter divine worship. 8:30 and 10:30. No Sunday school or Bible study next Sunday. We've got breakfast in between and around and among and during the services. So come, enjoy the fellowship, celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. You heard in the prayers, check out the news and notes for all the details about Dr. Allman. In brief, the missionary service in Germany is coming to a close. They wanted him to move to St. Petersburg, Russia. And he said, thanks, but no thanks. And so he's coming back to America waiting for a call. What's going to happen to the money that we raised during the last 6 weeks? What's going to happen to those who are regular contributors to the Allman Mission in Germany? We'll have more information for you as soon as we can. 2 o'clock this afternoon, our sister congregation in Hickman will be having a confirmation service here at Good Shepherd. They needed a little bigger space, a little bigger facility, so we keep them in our prayers as well. Pastor, anything else? Vicar? Vicar? All right. Lots of opportunities for worship, and may God bless us with the mind of Christ this Holy Week and always.
You have been listening to the regular Sunday morning worship service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Clint Poppy and Christopher Morande pastors. Empowered by the Spirit, compelled by God's love and forgiveness, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church celebrates and shares Jesus through worship and witness, nurture and fellowship. We invite you to join us each Sunday morning for worship at 8 o'clock or 10:30 a.m., Sunday school and Bible study at 9:30, or Wednesday evenings for worship at 6:30 p.m. with Bible study at 7:15. Good Shepherd is located in South Lincoln on 40th Street, one block north of Old Cheney. You can also worship Sunday mornings at our daughter church, Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Hickman. Worship services are held in the American Legion Hall at 106 Locust Street. Worship begins at 9 o'clock a.m. with Sunday school and Bible study at 10:15. Recordings of this and other services may be found by visiting our website at www.goodshepherdlincoln.org. Good Shepherd Lincoln is all one word. If you would like a tape of this service or would like more information about Good Shepherd, call Pastor Poppy or Pastor Mirande at 402-423-7639. This broadcast is brought to you as a mission project of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.